So we are almost approaching the end of the 10th chapter, where in response to the student question, the student wants to know where I should see the Lord, where should I find him, how can I contemplate upon you, how can I think about you. So the teacher gives, the Lord himself gives several beautiful examples of where you can see me. The Lord says you can see me, like in the birds, you can see me in the eagle, among the animals in the lion, among the mountains in the Himalayas, and among all the people, you can see me in the president or the king. So what he's saying is that whatever is the best, actually the Lord is everywhere. He's in everything. Everything is emerged from him because the Lord alone was. So everything he created out of himself. And we are all products of that divine being. But to point out examples, it makes it easy to then see him in everywhere. When you see them, when you're sitting in contemplation and when you see something beautiful, then you can say, oh, this is the Lord manifesting. And then it becomes easier to see him everywhere, like a geometry teacher when she's teaching the Pythagoras theorem, you know, the square on the hypotenuse is the sum of the square on the other two sides. She then will give an example, do one or two examples in the class, and then she'll say, okay, using these examples and having understood this theorem, now you go home and I'll give you another 20 or 30 problems so you can solve them. So then having explained the one or two, then it becomes easier for the student. So similarly for us, it becomes very hard to see the Lord as the unmanifest substratum. So we, through these examples, makes it easier for us. Today, not only he will tell us that he is the best in everything, which we have heard, but also he will tell us that I am the essential nature of everything, without which that thing will not be that thing, like, you know, a pot. If you remove clay from the pot, what is left? Zero. If you remove from the ornament, if you remove all the gold and you say, okay, I want the ornament minus the gold, it is going to be zero. So similarly, we minus that divinity, minus that Brahman, that consciousness, we are zero, we are nothing. So today he will tell us some of the more subtle aspects of where you can see the Lord in a more subtle form. So that's what we shall study today. So we'll do verse number 36. Dyutam chalayatam asmi. Tejas tejasvi namaham. Jayosmi vyavasayosmi. Satvam satvavatamaham. Satvavatamaham. So, dyutam chalayatam asmi. Among the fraudulent things, among the dishonest things, I am gambling. You say, what? The Lord is gambling? I thought Lord was everything good. Then, you know, men will say, okay, now it's okay. Tell their wives, now it's okay for me to go to Las Vegas. Because the Lord said, I am in gambling, so I can go to Las Vegas and there I can be praying to him in MGM or, you know, Mirage, because the Lord is in gambling. What he means, that when he said, I am the best in everything, then among the most dishonest things, I am the gambling, which is the most dishonest of all. Why does he choose the example of gambling? You know, because he was talking to Arjuna. Arjuna, as at that time, had suffered a lot because his older brother, even though he was very noble, had this passion for gambling. And if somebody invited him for gambling, he would go and play. And in that process, he, when he was gambling with the Kauravas who were dishonest, they invited him and they cheated him. And he actually not only lost all his money, but he lost his kingdom. And he lost even, you know, his brothers and his wife, everything he lost in gambling. There's a story behind that. And ultimately, they were released. And not only that, but they had to go into the forest for 13 years because they... So Arjuna realized that gambling is something so bad that my brother, when he gambled, he lost everything, his kingdom and all his freedom and everything. And so nowadays we might say, among fraudulent things, among dishonest people, I am the drug dealer. You know, because there can be nobody worse than that. You know, somebody who sells drugs. Or, Or bankers. Yeah. Among dishonest people, I am bankers. Yeah. So the point is that, and gambling actually is very interesting. It is the only sport in which a person happily loses all his money. Happily, he'll go, you tell him, how was trip in Las Vegas? Oh, I had a great time. Really? Yeah, I played every morning till 2 o'clock. How was it? I lost $10,000, but I had a great time. On the other hand, if he goes to the store and buys a shirt for $30 and next week it comes on sale for $25, he's like, oh my God, I lost, you know. But in gambling, that's why these casinos never close, because these people happily go back and lose their shirt again and again. And then you'll tell him, you know, last week you lost $10,000. Are you ready to go again? You know, last week was different. Something was wrong with the table. You know, there was an unlucky table and the dealer was not good and the stars were not good. But is baar dekho, now I am ready. This time I'm going to double. So gambling is a place where the people go again and again. They lose their shirt, they lose their undershirt, but they are still ready next time. So that's why he says, among evil things, I am gambling, among fraudulent. So which means that I am the highest, even among the wrong things, I am the highest. So that is the idea, that anything when you see, and also to caution Arjuna, that because for him that example hit home very well. Yeah, gambling is bad. Then he says, tejasvi namaham, among the brilliant, I am brilliance. Swamiji in his commentary also, he mentions, which you can, you know, read later on, but he says that brilliance is a thing which you cannot put your hand on. What do you mean by brilliance? Like, you know, you say this thing is, or it's, you know, very fantastic. It is beautiful. It is amazing. You say, what do you mean? Like he'll say the moonrise, you know, it was amazing. It was so wonderful. He said, what do you mean by that? You know, was it the moon? No. It was not just the moon. Was it the clouds in the sky? Was it the mountain? No, it's all the things put together. When the moon was rising behind the mountain and there were a few clouds in the sky and there was a gentle breeze blowing and it was the few stars were, and that moonrise was brilliant. So that brilliance, when you see, then you say, ah, that is the Lord. That is the beauty of the Lord. When you see something so pretty, something so wonderful, like in a flower, you know, somebody says, I am the perfume in the flower. I am the fragrance. Now, where is the fragrance in the flower? Is it in the pistil? You take the flower and tear it open, you know, the pistil and stamen and petals. No, you can't find it. You can't see it. But if there was no fragrance, the flower would not be a flower. So that is what he's saying, that the subtle aspect of a thing which makes it what it is, like a brilliant thing will not be brilliant if there was no brilliance. So that tejasvi namaham, among the brilliant thing, I am the brilliance. Like he might say, I am the flavor in the coffee, or I am the satisfaction in the cigar. Now in the cigar, you say, where is the satisfaction? But a person who smokes, after dinner, you know, he's so happy. Everybody else around is, you know, blowing the smoke, but he is delighted. So that satisfaction, where is it? You know, is it, can you cut it open, the cigar, and find it? No, it is subjective. When that person smokes that, or when he person drinks that coffee, somebody else who doesn't like coffee will say, it's so bitter, you know, it's so horrible. But the person who tastes it, who loves it, so that is what he says. I am the essential nature which makes a thing what it is. It is that subtle principle which is that. Jayosmi vyavasayo asmi. Jaya, I am victory. Victory does not mean that somebody, you know, tramples over somebody else and takes his land or takes away his business or his money or defeats him, you know. What it means is victory over wrong things, over evil. Because in our mind, we always have a constant problem because of our tendencies, you know, our selfish. Vasanas can be good also, but if we have a lot of wrong tendencies or wrong ideas, And there is a constant battle. That's why they say this Mahabharata war is always also going on in our mind, where there is always a struggle between the good and the evil. And in this war, symbolically, the Lord is in the side of the good brothers, the good Pandavas, and with the Lord's help, they ultimately win. So when he says victory, what he means is, I am victory over your mind. Because we are under the control of our mind, and our mind controls us. And I don't know what came over me, and I just did it. Or I just felt like doing it, and I did it. And then later on, I regret. Like I say, I'm going to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and meditate, or I'm going to go to the gym, or I'm going to read something good, and then I don't do it. That is, you are succumbing to your mental tendencies, to your negativities. Or sometimes you inexplicably get angry with somebody, or we shout at somebody, or we say something that we regret. So he says, I am victory. So there is a constant struggle in our mind. So when we take the help of the Lord and we take the help of the divine tendencies, then the victory is guaranteed. So he says, I am victory over the negativities. Vyavasaya asmi. Vyavasaya has come to mean business, but here it means industriousness. It means determination. It means persistence. So we find that in any field, to be successful, you have to have determination. You have to have consistent, persistent effort. Whether a person wants to win the Olympics, climb Mount Everest, or start a successful company. You know, these people who have these startup companies, in the beginning, you see them working 20 hours, 18 hours a day. You know, they are spending so much time. Why? Because consistent effort. But what happens for a lot of us when we start on any journey, especially on the spiritual path? And the other thing, in the business, you know, people have no problem working hard because I get a check at the end of the month, or I get my money, or the business. But in the spiritual field, as Swamiji was even saying this week, the success is not gross. It's not obvious. I go to work 8 hours, I get a paycheck. So that is obvious. But if I do these small things, if I study some spirituality, if I do some prayer, if I sit for meditation, the results are very subtle. And they are not dramatic, and they are not very quick. And also, there's plateaus. Sometimes you go up, and then you sit for meditation. A few days, the meditation is good. And then suddenly, your mind gets disturbed, and you don't know what happened. You know, I used to enjoy my meditation. Now it's not progressing. Now I'm getting back. I'm going down. Or my mind doesn't, you know, settle down. I used to be able to sit and pray. So the progress is very subtle, it's very slow, and it's ups and downs. Sometimes you progress, sometimes you fall back, sometimes you plateau. So one has to have determination, dhriti, there's another Sanskrit word meaning fortitude. So the determination to continue my spiritual journey, once I have decided that this is my goal, and if we have not decided, we need to decide, because this is the only goal of human birth. The only one and only goal is self-realization. Everything else is secondary. You know, whether to have children or not, whether to, you know, I mean, yeah, you need to have work, and you need to have some living and ability to work and all that. You can't be a parasite on society. But while I am working, and whether I have my family or not, it's okay if you have it. But the goal is that ultimately, while I am taking care of my family, while I am taking care of my business and work, I should not forget that my goal of human birth is intellectual progress towards the self, towards the Lord, so self-realization. And this week, Swamiji actually, I know we all know that, but he emphasized it so beautifully. He said that what we do is, instead of seeing the Lord within us, we see it in the stone. And he says that is useless. Does not mean that going to a temple or praying, but it says do not look at it in the stone. Look at it within yourself. You are that. So start with that. Constantly remind yourself. Constantly remember that I am that consciousness. The Lord is in me. The Lord is functioning through me. The Lord is speaking at this moment. The Lord is listening. And with that attitude, so you have to start by saying that the Lord is in me. I am that. And that constantly remind, and that is a very powerful spiritual exercise. When you see the Lord in the stone, when you see Krishna or Jesus in the church or Buddha or whatever, constantly remember that the Lord I am seeing there is also the Lord in my heart. The Lord is everywhere. So obviously he's there in that stone statue also. We're not saying he's not in there, but we just confine him to that, that he's there in the temple or the church, but he is in me. And that is a very important point that I took from this week's classes. He hammered that repeatedly. It was a very good point. So I am the industriousness. I am the determination. I am the fortitude. Satvam satvatamaham. And among the good, I am goodness. Again, you know, somebody said, oh, he's a very good person. How do we know he's a good person? Does he look good? Does he walk good? Does he talk good? No, we don't know. You can't pinpoint. You know, I don't know, but there's something about that person. He or she is a very nice person. They're always helpful, always kind, always smiling. The main feature, Swami Chinmayananda in his commentary says in this tape, he says it is the lack of ego. When a person has no ego, this that I am the perceiver, feeler and thinker, because it is this ego that separates me from all the others, that they are all separate from me and separates me from the Lord. The Lord who is in my heart, who is constantly functioning, but we think of him as Swamiji. Actually, this week there was so much to, like he said, Durasya and Antikechatra, and the Lord is further than the furthest and closer than the closest. Why? For he says, for a person who does not see the Lord, for him he is very far. You know, he's sitting somewhere in heaven, or is very hard, you know, maybe in next lifetime or maybe in 10 lifetimes from now I'll get. But for a saint or for a person who remembers the Lord, he's in me. He's closer than the closest. He's closer than me. So he says, I am the good among the goodness. Because a person who has ego becomes very selfish, self-centered. So he says, the person who has no ego, the person who is saintly, who sacrifices his or her own welfare for the benefit of all, I am that. I am the goodness that makes a good person good. Any comments? Like among weapons, I'm the atomic bomb. Didn't he say that? I mean, the weapons, I am the Vajra. I am the strongest weapon. In most religions, Christianity and all, God is considered as everything good is God and everything bad is devil, right? We say gambling, you know, drugs, all that is devil. The devil made me do it. And when we say something good, God made me do it. But actually the Brahman, this consciousness, is beyond good and evil. Good and evil are both supported by him. Whether a person, you know, a Mahatma Gandhi or a Jesus Christ or a Martin Luther King is also supported by him. And so is a Hitler or a serial killer or a murderer. Where do they get the life? They all have that consciousness, the life. But the Lord is beyond good and bad both. Neither he is good nor he is bad. Because good and bad are concepts of our intellect. Good and bad is relative. Like they say somebody is used to be very bad, but now he's not that bad. So we say he's good. Or you say there is light. Now light is in comparison to darkness. Like there is sun, so there is light. When the sun will be gone, you will say, why is it dark? Because there is no light. So it's very dark. You know why? Oh, who put off the light? The light was there. When the light is gone, it becomes dark. So light is in reference to darkness, good is in reference to bad, soft is in reference to hard. Like, you know, there is a soft pillow and there's a hard pillow, right? But you say, this is not hard. You want to see something hard, you see a rock. So the hard pillow is in reference to the soft pillow. But actually, when you compare it to the rock, it becomes a soft pillow. So everything in this world is relative. Good and bad are all relative. But there is only one absolute, and that is the consciousness. And that supports all good and bad. Everything is supported by that one consciousness. There is one, that's why even Swamiji this week said, hate the sin, not the sinner. You know, So the same Mahatma Gandhi used to say that Jesus said that. So the substratum in all is the one. The one Lord is there in all, but their expressions are different because of the vasanas, because of the good and bad tendencies. So it's okay. There's, you know. Yeah. But also that he supports everything. Everything is supported by him, the good and the bad. But obviously when you, like that's why he says, I'm the good among the goodness. Among the goodness, I'm the good. Because when you practice these good values, then slowly your negative tendencies get reduced. And once they get reduced, then you express that divinity. So yeah, I mean, to reach him, you have to practice good. You cannot say, I'm going to gamble, drink, and, you know, do all those, you know, sensual pleasures and expect to reach him. But he's just giving examples. It's a good question. Thank you. Again, I think it's relative. You're right. I mean, if somebody goes and they can control it and they just do it as a part of entertainment, and Las Vegas has shows and you go for dinner, and if you lose $20 and it's something you can comfortably do. But the problem is that not too many people can limit themselves. You know, that's why they have these Gamblers Anonymous, where the people start gambling. And then, and the same thing with alcohol. They say, one drink a day is not bad. I just have a couple of glasses of wine because it's good for health. But then it becomes a habit. Then without that wine or without that beer, and then when I sit in front of the TV, I have to. So you then become conditioned. And so that is the problem with all of these things, whether it's gambling or drinking or smoking or drugs or whatever, that they can become addictive. And can, like you said, you can lose your house. But yeah, I mean, the whole, you know, Las Vegas industry survives on that. And it is also, right. It's also, but that's why they say put your money in safe things. Because also it creates more stress. Yeah, what do you think? With inflation, right. But then also there's a lot of stress. You see, because one day the stock is up and one day is down, and people wake up at 5 a.m. because if the, you know, stock market is opened there. So whatever, you know, causes more stress. But yeah, I mean, you know, you have to put your money in something. It's also gambling. Yeah, that's why in India, Satta Bazaar used to be considered something bad. You know, wo satta khelta tha. It used to be like a person used to play the stock market and lost his house and lost everything. Yeah. And people lose their whole fortunes in that. So I think anything under control, under, you know, moderation is good.
So is that the ego? Or what is the essence of God?
Right. I think the essence, the essential nature of all of us is the consciousness. The essential nature is the consciousness. My thoughts, my emotions, and my desires depends on, you know, and the vasanas are the tendencies, which are the inherent tendencies, the inborn tendencies, which decide the kind of person I am. Whether I'm a good person or whether I'm a bad person, whether I'm a saint. Like some, not only that, but somebody has a musical tendency. He's a very good musician. Other one is a sports person. Other one is a scientist. Other one is a writer or whatever. Or another one is a worthless bum who just, you know, lies down and does nothing. So it depends on my tendencies, but that's not my essential nature. Those are my tendencies which determine how I will function in the world. What are my thoughts? What are my emotions? What are my actions? Will be determined by my tendencies. But these can be changed. My tendencies can, but the fact that I am that consciousness, that I cannot change. So that is my essential nature.
Okay. So
yeah, so the evolution is in our thoughts, in our desires, in our emotions, in our actions. But we as the consciousness remain unchanged. And that was never born and will never die, and was always there. So like there is space, you know, there is space outside, then there is artificially we made this room space, and then we have a pot. So we made a pot space and a room space and then the outer space. But actually there's only one space. And when you break the pot, does anything happen to the space? No, the space remains unchanged. You break the room and then anything happens to the space? No, the space does not break. That one space supports everything. And was always there. Even when the building was not there, there was space. When the building is there, there is space. When the building tomorrow is not here, there again will be space. So similarly, the consciousness supports everything. Everything is in that consciousness. Even space is in that consciousness. And that consciousness is the one that is unchanged. And that will always be there. Temporarily, it is manifesting through us. And when we are no longer here, maybe in what, 10, 20, 30 years, when we are no longer alive, then the consciousness will remain. Our body will be gone, but the consciousness, that is our essential nature. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukh Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.